Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast about the transformative and healing power of sex, pleasure, and embodied sexuality. I'm your host, Morgan Susan Taylor. I'm a sex therapist and specialist in women's sexuality and the founder of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I am passionate about normalizing the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and the spiritual. I created the Sex Talk Cafe as a place for you to learn from the experts in the field of somatic sex education, sex therapy, and sacred sexuality so that you can remove the mystery from sex, release guilt and shame, and learn to live a sexually empowered life filled with more confidence, connection, intimacy, and love. Thank you for joining me. Today's guest on the Sex Talk Cafe is Shauna Williams, also known as the Mystical Minister. Shauna is a spiritual leader and the author of the book, The Spiritual Magic of a Queer POC, Inspirations and Practices to Empower the Queer and People of Color Communities to Live Their Spiritual Truth. Shauna is an expert in helping her clients to clear shame and unworthiness, heal sexual trauma and ancestral wounds, and repattern family relationships. She's passionate about helping each individual to remember their divine perfection so that they can live a joyful life. All right. Well, Shauna, welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. I'm super excited to have you on as my guest today. How are you?
Morgan, I am doing very well. I'm very happy to be in this Sex Talk Cafe with you and all the people that are joining us. So thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you share with our listeners just a little bit about yourself and your work in your own words?
Yeah. So ultimately, I was born into a family that's deep in medicine of the earth, shamanism, and by our blood. So I have Cherokee, Blackfoot, Chickasaw, and some of my family is from Barbados and we're enslaved or shipped here through Trinidad. And a lot of that side of the family is on the land of the Gullah Geechees, which also is steeped in shamanism. And so that's in my blood, that's in my lineage. And I'm also just a key holder of healing our ancestry, healing our blood. And that's something that I do in the world for people. And through all of that, it's like all of the ways in which it shows up. So in our sexuality and shame and addictions and wounding and just really being able to support and clearing that. And before I got to be in here, I had to have my own work and my own path internally to be able to be a clear vessel. So all of the things, all of the titles, all of the certifications, but that's the truth in this moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so you're known as the Mystical Minister, is that right?
Correct. That is a name that I'm known by.
I love it. And how did you, like, so tell us a little bit about how you got into this line of work, the healing and the spirituality, and even like the, I know that you work with sexuality and sexual trauma, and that's some stuff we're going to talk about today, and sovereignty and the sovereign womb and some really cool sexuality related stuff. So I'd love to know more about how did you get called into this line of work?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I always just say like, this is what I'm here to do. So I was born right into this reasoning and into this path. And like more specifically, what was a human initiation is I remember being so young and we were raised in the church. When I say we, I mean me and my two brothers. I have one that's older and one that's younger. And we were raised in church and in the South. Like I was born and raised in the South, Black family, very heavily steeped in religion, Southern religion, Baptist religion. And we were always in church pews and I would always find myself called to like hold space. And I mean like hug, because at this age, I mean, I was little at this age, I didn't know what holding space was, but I always felt called to go up to the people who would go up for the altar calls. And so in case you guys don't know what that is, because you don't have the background that I have, sometimes I think it's so normal. But at the end of church service, like the pastor will call people to come up. If there's something that's weighing on your heart, if you feel like you're drenched in sin, whatever, you know, they call you to the altar. And I would just want to hold those people. not like pray or like see them as less than. I just wanted to hold them. And that was in my heart for that God restoration and just really seeing people as whole, holy, and innocent from a very young age. And I really carried that with me throughout my life and throughout my family. And that was really like the first way. And there's been so many initiations along the way of remembrance of like, hey, Shauna, stay this path. But that is the first one when I think of the first initial one, that's what comes to my mind, Morgan.
Yeah, well, so you're using this word God restoration, and I would love it if you could speak more to what you mean by that.
Yes. So right now, there's so many battles going on, spiritual warfare, yada, yada, yada. And in my own personal space, I really had to and got to restore my relationship with God in the name of God, because so many people, so many religions, so many indoctrinations were telling me something that didn't feel true for my soul and for my connection to God. And so in that, we pick up so many things and all of this like fear of God and feeling like we must be one way, or we just completely go against all things God. And we're like, God isn't real. We're just gonna believe in the universe, or we like switch out the names for God, you know, and we switch like prayer for manifesting and just really start to shift those things. And so it's like anchoring the truth of God, because as there are all of these warfares going on, the greatest weakness is deception. And so just calling the force of all good and light and holiness what it is. And so God restoration, restoring the name of God, restoring our relationships with God, and just really clearing and allowing the space for all of the shit to come up, everything that we've been holding that's been blocking that, and like all of the anger and resentment that we have towards God, it's like allowing a space for that all to come up in a very therapeutic and on purpose way, and then allowing the space for the restoration to happen. That's what I mean when I say God restoration.
I just love it. And yeah, I can really relate to what you're saying. And I feel like some of my path in the world is of a similar nature, obviously different because it manifests in the way that it manifests through me. But I so can resonate with what you're saying and how, you know, there's so much overlay on the word God and even the word spirituality, which people often really tie in and make it synonymous with religion, and then all the negative associations that so many people have from their early church experiences. It all gets overlaid onto God. And then you're right. Like, I think that one of the strangest words I ever heard in place of God was the holy electron. Like, yeah, which is kind of, I mean, it's interesting, but you're right. Like, it's very like dissociated. And yeah, I just love what you're speaking to, and I think it's so needed and so such beautiful and valuable and necessary work. Now you do some sacred womb work, and I would love to touch in around this idea of making love from a sovereign womb. I know that that's part of your mission and message and your unique work, and would just love to like dig into that topic with you a little bit. What does that even mean, first of all? And for those, for you know, I think a lot of people also don't really understand the womb wisdom and the power of the actual womb. So maybe if you're interested in, you know, doing a little bit of speaking directly into that, and then we can talk about the making love from a sovereign womb.
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe that the womb space that female-bodied people get to have and get to hold is like our deepest connection to creation and that creation energy, and also the greatest place where we are disempowered. So if we have the power to create so powerfully, then it is the first place of attack, of shame, of guilt, of wanting to be smallness. So like literally shriveling up our ovaries, shriveling up our pussies, and like all of that, like everything, our vulva, everything that connects us to that. And shriveling is like such a hard word to say right now. But yeah, shriveling all of that up and like really contracting. And I think that one of the greatest ways of disempowerment is just really Like so many people have hysterectomies, and so many of us have diseases and sickness that happen there, and so many female body people aren't able to create children there. And I have empathy for that, and I really have compassion for that. And I believe that it is because like this space has become a house of such deep, deep shame, guilt, and where we live from in our codependency. So we have literally started to sacrifice our own ability to create, co-create from this space. And so when we're in our sovereignty and we're in like that knowledge of like, wait, this has been happening. Wait, this isn't normal. This isn't natural. This isn't, I don't have to ascribe to this anymore. I don't have to feel this like debilitating state before I get my moon, before my cycle comes, before I start bleeding. Wait, we just start to question like all of these things that has become normal. I used to have a doctor and I would ask him a question of like, is that normal? He's like, it happens. You know, it's like, it happens. It's not that it's normal. It happens. And I think that and knowing that we have another choice and another option, it's really powerful. So always first and foremost, it's really getting real and present to like the ways in which our wombs have been diseased and the ways in which we have lost our power in them. And the ways in which we have allowed other people to take up space there. And then becomes the space for sovereignty, choice, and all of that yumminess that comes. And it's like we dance with it. It's not just like, oh, this one time I've cleared all of this. It's like this is deeply in our DNA, deeply in our family, deeply in our own sexual experiences and our disconnection with our femininity and our feminine features in our body. And our sexual power. And so, and it also plays into like the religious talk that we were talking about. So that's like a snippet of what that means. Does that make sense, Morgan?
Yeah, it does. Let me ask you this question because I have two teenage daughters, and one of the biggest challenges that I've run into, I'm right online with everything that you're saying, and but I have found it really difficult to pass that along to my own daughters. They are very much in the culture of wanting to get rid of their moon cycle, just be on birth control constantly so that they don't have a cycle or they don't have pain. And they don't want to hear anything that I have to offer them, any wisdom that I have to offer them about their bodies and about why there's not supposed to be pain there and why to, being on constant birth control is not a good thing. Like we need to have that release. And I'm just curious if you have any like wisdom around how do we educate our younger generations about their female bodies and the power of their own body and their own womb.
So I always put myself in their shoes. Like when I was 14, 15, 13, I was like, what the fuck is this? Or what is this? Why am I bleeding? Why do I feel this way? Why am I on this rampage? Why do I hate everyone? You know, like everything was just so unfamiliar and something was taking over my body. So why not hate it? It's like, this is terrible. So I absolutely understand that. And like where I was, I didn't have, it's like one day my period showed up and no one explained anything to me. It was just like, oh, okay, this is happening now. And I remember one day I was in this class. It wasn't like school, but we were like, let's say we're at a church. And I remember I bled through my pants and there was blood on the seat. And I got up and one of these girls was like, oh, you bled on your seat, and like made this huge thing. Talk about traumatizing. I tried to stand on the chair to like smear it in. But it was just like, and from that moment on, I was like, I hate this. I don't want this anymore, you know? And so I was like, how can we make this stop? And so I got on birth control, but that was like for mood stabilization, whatever it is that they tell you at the time that they put you on birth control. And so I was on it for a bit, and I started to notice and started to realize, and at that age, I was so disconnected from my body just because of some of the traumas that were happening in my life. And so hearing, like I wasn't in the space to really hear about this. So I really had this disconnection with my cycle, and it wasn't until, like 5 years, like within this last decade, that I started to really come into the importance of the connection and the power of bleeding. And like when I think about it shifting and being in a different phase, I get a little sad about it and just the power of that. And so when I think about really connecting with our younger generation with that, it's like being able to just have the conversation, like being able for them to be like, I fucking hate this, mom, and I don't want to talk to you about it. Just giving them the space to talk and to know that they can come and to know that like at some point in time, as long as we're continuing to have this conversation and creating the space, that change will come. Like they'll come into their own alignment of truth. But right now there's like this massive societal brainwashing that it isn't okay. And then also the body and the hormones that are coming in, it's so foreign that it's taking like all of these little hijackings over of like, wait, society's saying that this isn't okay. My body feels this way. And I think one of the greatest things is like young women circling and having someone that isn't a parent being able to hold this space for them. And I think that that's one of the most important things right now. I have a friend named Prima Sandy, and she's in the UK, and this is something that she does for young girls. And I think that like as women are circling, we also must make the space for young women to circle and to have an elder present, and just give them the space to be and evolve.
Okay, so this idea of the sovereign womb. So you talked a little bit about that, about really reconnecting with that part of our female body as really our source of creation, and that we're very disconnected from that. How does that change lovemaking and sex?
So the way that I look at the two parallels is like making love from a wounded space and making love from a sovereign space. And so when I am in like this wounded connecting with someone, it's like it's whatever you want. Like I am a servant to you. I am completely disconnected to my own pleasure, what my desires are. I may be over-sexualized to where I'm like, just really, really giving into all of the sexual desires without any regard for my own self and really acting out in a high-risk way. Or just really feeling that my sexuality and my sexual expression is all that I have to offer. And feeling like that's the only way that I can intimately connect with someone, but just truly like everything, all that I am, all of my connection is coming from this one expression of myself. And like I'm not whole enough, I'm not full enough. And I don't have choice. So I really like that's the space of like the wounded. So you show up in a relationship and you're just like you don't have needs. You're there to just serve, and it's whatever your partner wants, and you don't really even ask yourself like, what do I desire? What do I want? And you find yourself in relationships where you don't even need to because it's all about them. It's all centered around them. And so when we shift it into sovereignty, it's being able to see those aspects of us because it's not the totality of us or the wholeness of us, but being able to see those aspects of us and really see them and like, okay, like I'm seeing this is the way, like kind of watching ourselves as if we're watching a movie or like a reel that's passing by and just becoming more aware. And then being able to see and to notice the partners that we choose and how we choose to give our sexual expression. And I always say that like the pussy is a portal of power. It is like the portal of our soul and our creation. And so when we just give that away, we're just giving away the keys to the kingdom. And so we're in our sovereignty. It's like, is this person worthy, right? Like we can literally have that conversation. Is this person worthy of accessing me in that way? Is this something that I am choosing to do? And it's just like no shame, no guilt. Like I'm gonna say yes and go for it. B, it's a no, they're not worthy, but I'm still gonna go for it. And then like C, being like no, just 100% no. And all of those are fine, but it's like being able to be in a sovereign space to choose.
Yeah, for sure. And I work a lot with women who sort of have the opposite challenge where they're very afraid of giving up the pussy, and they're very, it's very closed and sh or shriveled, maybe. Maybe not shriveled, but not
Shriveling.
as thin. They will be shriveled if they don't do something about it. So, I mean, there's sort of that like not having discernment and just kind of, devaluing oneself, versus being sovereign and having conscious choice. And then there's also sort of another aspect which I think would line up with not being in sovereignty, which is sort of that fear, and the withholding of it just out of fear. Is that
Right.
anything that you resonate with or can speak to as well?
Absolutely. So that's a part of the wounded space. And I didn't like, again, like we could talk on the wounded space for so long. So I'm very happy that you just mentioned that piece because it's a part of being wounded. So we are retracted. It's a part of that disconnection from our body. And that's one of the ways in which it plays out to where it's like fearful, we're withholding, we don't express. So it's like it's coming up very asexual. And so it can seem like, oh, I'm making this choice to not be, but we're not in our full sovereignty of pleasure and access to be like, wait, I can give myself permission to say yes to this. I can give myself permission to open up. So when we're in that rigidity, we're completely closed. We're not even accessing that sexual power. And it's one way in which we're keeping ourselves in prison and in victimization within our own womb space and with our own sexual expression. So absolutely.
Yeah, and wouldn't you also agree that that kind of space is also keeping us in disconnection from God and from our divine inheritance of our union with God?
Any place in our bodies, because our bodies are the vessel, any space in our bodies in which we are closed off is an area in which we are closed off to God. So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a foreign concept to most people, this association between our sexuality and God, obviously, because our mainstream religion has really separated those two things. Sexuality has no place in the mainstream church, right? It's considered sinful or dirty or shameful or something to not be really embraced. So yeah, how do you help people make that bridge between our sexuality, our sexual sovereignty, and our spiritual sovereignty?
Yeah, it's being able to hold the space of bringing up all of the shame and like really being able to see it, and really being able to give voice to all of that that's been held in the body and the womb space. And most people don't even have words for it. So being able to bring in the shamanic aspects and the spiritual and the God-given gifts that I'm grateful that are channeled through me. It's being able to really get them clear and to really work with their bodies in a way that they don't even have to speak. And so, in doing that work, it's been very miraculous. And I think that it really opens people up in a way that they didn't know. And it doesn't even have to translate into, okay, now I want to have all of the sex or anything like that. It's just like these spaces within me are now open, and so therefore I can receive more. And I really think that that's something too that's plaguing female body people. And because we always talk about our inability to receive, but we don't even really connect it to our inability to receive the pleasure or to open up our bodies in a way that's safe for us. And so creating that safety and within safety and allowing God to come in, it's all happening like it really truly isn't about me. It's like being able to connect and like flow the gifts through that God has me to here. And it really has been creating miracles for people.
Sure, that's so beautiful. Now, Shawnee, you have a book, The Spiritual Magic of a Queer Person of Color, and I would love to hear about how has being a queer person of color influenced your work? And would you like to talk a little bit about the message in your book around that, aspect of your experience specifically?
Oh my gosh. Oh man, I'm always in conversation with God, and I say often to people that, like, I'm a part of my medicine is like walking in the very shoes of those people that I'm here to support. It wasn't by like education, like I have education as well, but like most of my medicine is being in the shoes of the very people, like being able to go and dig people out of holes or out of hell because I was there as well, and to show them the way out. So the spiritual magic of a queer POC, again, God was like, okay, girl, you've been talking about writing these books. It's time for you to do something. And like, let's just get started. Cause I was like, gonna write. I had so many books with my publisher of like all of these different things. And she was finally like, okay, you can publish this book, or you can really do a story of yourself and really introduce yourself into the world like that. And I was just like, that book is too big. Like, that is too big of a task. And it was too much. And so I was like, let me break it down into a chapter. And it wasn't overnight. It probably took 2 years for me to get to this part of like, let me just do a little bit. And so God was like, you just need to write a small amount and it's going to be impactful. And so I had a friend, what really brought it into like this physical reality is that I watched one of my friends really go inward and disconnect from God because she was raised in Southern Baptist. She was getting ready to marry a woman. She had been having like her struggles with God altogether. And I was just like, man, what the church is saying is not right. Like, no God of all is going to condemn you because of who your heart in which God created chooses to love this specific being.
Yep.
And I always had issue with that growing up. Like, that was one of the questions that I always asked, like, just in my soul, in my spirit, in my heart, in my DNA, I knew that the lies that were coming through. And I always questioned them. And so I really wanted to be able to speak to this group of people, which this book is for everyone. But I really specifically wanted to call in and like create this haven in these words for my fellow queer people, my fellow Black, Indigenous people of color, to really see that the way in which the echoes have been created are not true, and that like you are beautiful, you are perfect, and like, let me tell you my story. And like, if I can come through and have the restoration of God, then so can you if you choose to. And now you have a choice because now you know these truths that have been channeled in this book. It's 100 pages, maybe 103 pages. And I give some practices that people can do. And I tell about my story with God, like what really started to shift my family's relationship. We had a trauma happen, and what really started to question our entire relationship as a family unit with God, and the way in which racism played a part, and all of that. Like, so many potent phases and stages and topics are touched on within these 100 pages. And it's really to be able to call in that light of truth of like, hey guys, this has not been the way. Here's some truth. You have another option. God is with you. God is choosing you. God loves you. And let's have that restoration. So it's available on Amazon and The Spiritual Magic of a Queer POC. It's inspirations and practices to empower the people of color and queer people to live in their spiritual truth.
I love it. It's so beautiful. Well, Shauna, what if you have any upcoming events that our listeners could know about that you have coming up, or how to connect with you, how to find you out there in the world?
Yeah, on September 19th, I'm going to have a self-love and self-care masterclass. It's one of the live talks that I've done over the years, and it just came through that like right now is a time to bring it to people in this format. So you can reach out to me for that. And my email is Shauna, S-H-A-U-N-N-A, speaks. And that's S, P as in Paul, E-A-K-S at gmail.com. And I have a website that's mysticalminister.com. And I do have social media as well, but I am switching some of that over. And so for right now, I'm at @IamShauna_Williams on IG. But I would say right now to check out my website and also email me if you feel called to that masterclass and I can send you some stuff. I do a 5 days of bliss, which is dancing with the elements to tap into God. And that's going to start September 7th. And I'm not sure when this is going to drop, so you guys may miss that access. But I do one like every month, a round of that. And and I have programs and all of that stuff. So if you feel called and some of this has resonated with you, definitely reach out and we can see in which way God has us to work together and to connect.
Absolutely. So just to reiterate that, it's mysticalminister.com is your website, and your email is shaunaspeaks@gmail.com, and that's shaunaspeaks@gmail.com. Is that right, Shauna?
That's correct.
Awesome. Well, I hope everyone listening, if you resonated with Shauna's message today, go check out her book on Amazon, The Spiritual Magic of a Queer POC. Check her out on her website, or shoot her an email to connect with some of the amazing offerings that she has coming up. And Shauna, I just want to thank you so much for being my guest today on the Sex Talk Cafe.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And you guys keep it sexy, keep it blissful and healing. Take care.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast series and sharing it with your community. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.